It's now time for the MLB.com Cut Forecast. Cut Forecast. The Cut Forecast. It's a cast from Cut 4. Here it is.
Hello and welcome to the Cut Forecast. I'm Dakota Gardner. I am joined, as always, by Gemma Kaneko.
Hi.
How are you?
I'm all right. How are you?
I'm good. I was a little sad that you left us last week.
I did.
To go to England.
Yes, with scare quotes around it. That's really essential, actually.
Where were you last week?
I was at Harry Potter, the Wizarding World of Harry Potter. In Orlando.
I'm glad that was more important than the Cut Forecast.
Sorry, but it was like I had to go to Honeydukes, get some chocolate frogs.
What was your favorite part?
Everything was my favorite part. Diagon Alley was my favorite part because I like weird little dioramas. You know, I'm that kind of person when I go to history museums, and I loved all the storefronts that had like strange creatures and et cetera. And the Firebolt, obviously, was pretty into that.
Did you buy a broom?
I did not buy a broom because even though I did go on an adult vacation to the Wizarding World of Harry Potter, I'm not a child. So what would I do with a broom? I don't know.
But you are a witch.
We all know that. I think I've been making that clear on this Cut Forecast since the very first episode.
That distant laughter you hear in the background is the head of the... I forget what his title is. I think he's the senior LA bureau chief.
That seems right.
For Cut 4, Michael Clare.
Hey guys, how you doing?
Just terribly. I was good until I remembered that you were here on our podcast, and now I'm just terrible.
I like to breed dissent and misery, so it makes me feel good when you say that.
I don't know why I gave you that opening. I don't know why. We have a lot to get to today. None of it really is baseball, because there is no baseball. This is the beginning of our slow descent into madness. It will reach its whatever the opposite of a peak is. I don't know.
Valley?
Sure. It will reach its valley. That seems unspecific, but it will reach its valley sometime around January. But basically, it's the off season. So, you know what? We're going to try to stay as positive as we can and as happy as we can without baseball. I don't know how possible it is, but that's why we're here.
It's going to be a challenge.
But we're going to talk some baseball music because Go Cubs Go made baseball history this week. We'll also talk a little bit about some homework, which could be fun. I don't know.
I mean, that's what we have to fill our days now with no baseball.
Just homework. I know.
School.
School's back. It's not the summer, so we're talking about homework. And lastly, it's award season. There's the Rookie of the Year Awards, Cy Young Award, MVP Award, all sorts of awards, and we're going to make up a few awards of our own. But before we get to all of that, as I said, am in the midst of the off-season doldrums. We're only like a week and a half without baseball. And
I can't believe it's been such a short amount of time, because it feels like 10 years.
It feels like it has been 10 years. It feels like it's been 108 years since the last won the World Series. That is what it feels like. My question to the two of you, how are you making it through the offseason so far? What has been your strategies to not lose your mind without baseball? Gemma, I want to start with you.
Well, I went to Harry Potter World.
Other than Harry Potter. Other than exploring a magical world.
Just so everyone knows, I just think there should be like a Quidditch investment. There should be like a Quidditch ride and also Quidditch sports movies, but like play it as straight sports films.
That'd be so cool.
Like inspiring Quidditch movies. I would watch those. Anyway, I went to that. But I'll do what I usually do in the off season, which you can
Hang on. I'm going to interrupt you. I need to interrupt you. Does America play Quidditch? Is that in the new movie, The Fantastic Beasts and Where to Find
Them? I don't know. I didn't see it yet.
I mean, there's
a World Cup of Quidditch. So presumably
there's a World Cup of soccer and America's US, not particularly good at that.
That doesn't mean they don't play.
Well, okay.
Maybe there's like an American Quidditch team that's just like slowly trying really hard to gain prominence, and then eventually they make it out of the group stage and then are a disappointment after
that.
We have
a lot of like dual nationals.
yeah. Everyone's actually just German. Who knows? Anyway.
I would watch a Quidditch sports movie before I'd go see Amazing Beasts and Fantastic Places of Going to Find Them.
Come
or whatever
on, Claire.
Who wouldn't watch a Quidditch movie?
I know. I think it would be great.
You've got the montage, and then the way the snitch is set up to basically make the whole rest of it meaningless. You really can just drive the whole movie to when someone grabs the snitch.
Or, you know, you could flip it around and have it be one of those sports movies where the underdog team loses and it could be like, we got the snitch, but the other team was so fast that they scored more points anyway. Like how the World Cup ends in book four.
Exactly. Like
so depressing.
Rather than delving down that rabbit hole, let's move on.
I had another answer and you cut me off.
I know, I blame myself.
All right, as you can probably guess, if you've ever met me or seen anything I've ever tweeted in my life, you can guess that I'll probably spend the off season reading a bunch of books. There's always a lot of great baseball history, and there are great baseball novels too that, you know, you just don't have time to read during the regular season when there's a lot of baseball to watch. So now is when I'm going to take that time to catch up on all that stuff that I didn't get to do during the year.
That's a good idea.
Yeah.
Shout out to you. What book are you reading?
Thank you. Well, I'm actually looking forward to this book. It doesn't get released until January, but it's called Bloomer Girls, and it's about women who play baseball and like kind of as novelty acts and then try to make it a little bit more legit.
Very cool.
Yeah.
That's fun. That is a good tip on how to make it through the baseball offseason. Read baseball books. Claire, what are you doing to make it through the offseason?
So I try and be like Gemma and better myself and read books.
Oh, why wouldn't you? I'm so great.
And I sit down and I open a book and then I basically just open Twitter on my phone and do that for an hour and go, well, that was a great reading session.
Don't ever do that. Delete it from your phone.
So basically I'm just watching horror movies, which is how I spent every non-baseball moment in October, and it's now spreading into November, which is why I was in Salem, Massachusetts last night, which is a fun corollary to Gemma going to the Wizarding World, because there's a lot of wand shops, Harry Potter shops, that make it very clear that they are not affiliated with Warner Brothers in any way, and that these wands, which just happen to look a lot like Harry Potter wands, are not Harry Potter wands.
Cool. Is there a baseball horror movie that you would recommend?
Oh, man. Well, there's one I love, and it's called The Catcher, and it stars Joe Estevez. It's not a great one, but if you love B-horror, it just makes no sense. He was fired, he's really upset, and all the murders take place at the baseball stadium. There's a great graphic novel that is a horror baseball graphic novel. It's called Sullivan Sluggers. Basically, this team travels to play. It turns out the team they're playing are a bunch of demons. They get trapped when the sun goes down. Mm-hmm. Whole town is filled with demons, and the baseball team has to fight their way out of the city. And I love that book.
That actually sounds pretty cool. I'm probably going to read that.
It's awesome. It's super cool. A couple of years back when it came out, I talked to the writer when it was coming out. It's so fun, and the way they incorporate baseball equipment to basically kill these demons is a lot of fun. So go find that. Super colorful, super bright. The art's gorgeous. And if you like blood and guts and demons in baseball, what more can you ask for?
Yeah. And if you're fighting your own demons, it's a really good motivational tool.
So Dakota, what are you going to do in the off season?
Nothing.
Blanket fort.
Blanket fort. And I'm just going to... I'm going to sleep the entire off season like a bear. I will hibernate. And I will wake up in March, and I'll be like, oh, I'll stretch, I'll eat a ton of food, and I'll be like, oh, okay, I guess baseball's back. That was fast. That's my current plan. I've been reading like you.
Great.
Obviously not like you. No one can read like you. But
what are you reading?
I'm reading a book about the Civil War, which is pretty exciting. So, Battle Cry for Freedom. Shout out to that book.
Is Abner Doubleday in the book?
Not as far as I've read.
All right.
He potentially might wind up making a surprise appearance as the person who unites the South and the North.
No,
maybe.
Okay, well,
is that what happened?
No.
Okay.
I won't spoil the Civil War for you.
When I was in high school, this is not related to Civil War. We were talking about the founding of the country, and they people got really invested in Alexander Hamilton before he was cool. And we were, you know, the way my teacher taught the class was very like sequential. And so we got to the part where Aaron Burr kills Alexander Hamilton.
Right.
People were scandalized. It was like an episode of Game of Thrones. People came in the next day after doing the reading and were like, what? Aaron Burr killed him? That's terrible. So, you know, that's what my life is like.
When you read the Civil War book, I see.
Yeah. Yes. That's how I treat history. Like an HBO miniseries. But yeah, that's pretty much what I've been doing. I don't know. What else have I done?
Well, if you want to read a book that has a lot of stuff about the Civil War and like post immediately like Reconstruction era baseball. Mm-hmm. In MLB official historian John Thorne's book, Baseball in the Garden of Eden, there's actually a lot of good stuff about that.
I should read it.
So I recommend Baseball in the Garden of Eden.
Yeah,
as
yeah
well.
That's a really actually helpful recommendation, unlike the rest of this podcast. I will actually go read that. That's a good idea. And you should read it too. You can read it with us, and we can do a Cut 4 book club.
Aww,
wouldn't that be fun?
I would love that.
I feel like that'd be really fun. Maybe we'll do that. Okay. Let us move on from our strategies for dealing with the offseason, which are myriad. Go Cubs Go, the famed theme song for the Chicago Cubs. It's not their theme song. I don't know.
It kind of is, though, like, now.
It is now. Which features the lyric, "This is the year." Guess what? This was the year, and fans celebrated that by buying the song to the extent that it charted on the Billboard charts, which had not happened in the song's history, which is super cool. But shout out to the Cubs. Shout out to Go Cubs.
Uh-huh.
My question to the two of you is, unrelated to the Cubs, what's your favorite baseball song? There's a ton of baseball songs
there's
out
so many
there
baseball
that are like
songs.
Specifically baseball or sort of tangentially related to baseball, maybe famous walkout songs, something like that. What is your favorite baseball adjacent or baseball centric song? Claire, I want to start with you.
Well, yeah, as you said, there are just so many. I love, if we want cheesy team anthems, the Dodgers Baseball Boogie. If we want Craig Finn's wordy love of sport, you have Don't Call Them Twinkies, but there's only one option, and you want something that's going to pump you up. You want something that's fast and loud, and then you want the Isotopes Ballad of Ray Ordonez.
Okay. I like that. Pretty much, if you were to pick an official baseball player of Cut 4, I would choose Yasiel Puig. Gemma, who would you choose?
Munenori Kawasaki.
Munenori Kawasaki.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure, Claire, you and our night editor, Matthew Monaghan, would go with Ray Ordonez. Is that right?
I mean, it would be tough because there's Craig Counsell out there, too. But yeah, Ray Ordonez, that move when he would slide to his backhand side and pop up, and there was just nobody as exciting. And he wore number zero. He legitimately wore the number zero for a while.
Yeah.
And not as a star. He was a young player. Like, if, you know, Manny Ramirez wearing 99, it was like, well, you're Manny Ramirez. You're a star. You kind of make that number cool. Ray Ordonez was like a 220 hitting young middle infielder wearing the number zero. I don't know if that shows confidence or like an extreme lack of confidence, but I love it so much. And the Ballad of Ray Ordonez is the perfect song that encapsulates this player and the feeling you would get watching him.
That's a good choice. Let me defend the number zero for a second. I don't know if it's a number. It's a concept. Let me defend the concept zero for a second. I like players who wear it. I think it's cool and unique, and everybody else wears a number. You're wearing the absence of it.
Oh.
I think that's fun.
Deep thinking here.
Here's the list of players who wore the number zero, and it's only 17.
There's only like a couple. I know like Adam Ottavino wears it. I don't know who else wears it.
Escobar wore it for 1 year with the Angels. Al Oliver wore it for 8 years. He has the record for wearing it the longest time. He wore it with the Rangers, Expos, Phillies, Giants, Dodgers, and the Blue Jays.
I like it's players with O.
Yeah, that's kind of fun.
Ottavino, yeah. Al Oliver, Ray Ordonez. That's
LJ
clever.
Hose wore it for 2 years with the Astros, and his name is kind of like an O.
Hose, yeah, true.
Yeah.
I like it because what I would say is they'd be like, why do you wear a zero? And I'd be like, this is the number of players who are better than me.
Whoa. Whoa.
That's like, I think it was Gerald Laird wore 15. And when people asked him why 15, he said, one player, five tools.
That is such a good quote. Okay, that's a good choice. That's a good choice for song. Gemma, let me ask you the same question. What is the best non-Cubs song? Because obviously Go Cubs Go charting on Billboard makes it the best.
Right, apparently,
but,
yes.
Separate from that, what is the best?
I mean, there are a lot of great baseball songs and baseball-adjacent songs, but the one I picked, I think, should probably, if Cut 4 had an official baseball song, I think it would be this song.
Okay.
And the song is Van Lingo Mungo. Mm-hmm. Van Lingle Mungo, and it's like a jazzy tune, like novelty song from 1969, and it's just nonsense. All it is just people singing baseball players with funny names, like weird names, for the entirety of the song. That's it. That's all it is. There's no plot. I wrote them down, but I didn't bring it in, so you'll have to look it up on our site.
So Gemma is deeply unprepared.
We've actually written about it before on Cut 4, so you can check it out. We've written about this particular player, but it's pretty weird, and I feel like we would write it today just about players that we thought had fun names.
If you could write a song about a baseball player today, who would you write a song about? Other than Munenori Kawasaki.
Well, I also feel like it'd be hard to rhyme that with a lot of stuff.
That's true.
That would be kind of difficult. Who would I write a song about today? It has to be someone whose name lends themselves to like rhyme schemes. Probably Coco Crisp, honestly.
That's a good one.
It has a good number of syllables and it's a fun name.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah.
I like that.
Yeah.
No.
Why did I even say that? Al Albuquerque. That is made for novelty songs. Okay, that is a name for a novelty song.
There's that Weird Al song, Albuquerque.
Sure.
And so I feel like he's already on that corner. It seems like an odd choice. I like Coco Crisp more.
All right.
You're both wrong, unfortunately.
Oh, of course you are.
You should be used to it by now. The only song that matters here, frankly, including Go Cubs Go, the only song that matters here, is a song that was written in the, I want to say, early 1990s by Kid Sensation, who is a Seattle-based rapper. The song is called The Way I Swing.
Yes!
The Way I Swing features Kid Sensation and rapping Ken Griffey Jr.
You're right.
And it is the greatest baseball song. If I had any power at all, this is evidence that I have no power in this world. That song would be the theme song for the Cut 4 cast because it is, first of all, an incredible song. Like, the beat is amazing. Mm-hmm. Second of all, Griffey's rap is so good and so bad at the same time. And I have never been happy. Here's how he starts. He says, Ken Griffey is a swinger, not a singer, a deaf rhyme bringer, a home run hitter. How do you not want to hear that entire verse?
I do.
Rapped from Ken Griffey Jr.
I actually kind of want to hear you read it now.
No, not from me. Not from me. From the kid himself. It's great. He talks about how he's dope, but he doesn't sling dope because he's a very family-friendly guy. He is great. The song is great. Kid Sensation is great. Everyone should go listen to it. It's on YouTube. The Way I Swing, Ken Griffey Jr. You need to go listen to this song right now. You can pause the Cut 4 cast, come back to it. It's the best baseball song.
I hope you know how much I'm giving up right now when I say, Dakota, you are right and I am wrong.
Yeah.
I'm really putting myself out there. That is the best baseball song ever.
Yeah, I think I agree.
Yeah, well, glad we're all in agreement here.
It's rare that you really are right, but you really were this time.
Dakota Gardner is correct. Okay, let's move on, since I don't want to force you to say that on the air. Gemma, I have a question for you.
Yes, Dakota.
Have you ever needed help doing homework?
Oh, of course, certainly.
Well, if you could ask a baseball player to assist you in doing your homework, who would it be?
Well, I know we initially came up with this question because someone, in fact, did ask Trevor Bauer for help doing their math homework on Twitter, and he helped her.
Yeah.
Just, like, walked her through this math set, which is really generous.
Well, we also know that he has expertise.
And clearly that's how he's making it through his offseason, just helping random teens with their homework. Not a bad thing to do. But I was like, well, what kind of homework would I need help with, you know? Like, I didn't really go to real school after a certain point. I went to theater school. So I had to think about, like, what would I need help with and what kind of person could help me do those things, right? Like, I'm directing the scene, et cetera. I got to figure out. So, like, I was thinking, like, oh, maybe I would ask Andrew McCutcheon, who has experience in making his own short films,
he does.
Right? So if I'm going to make something, I'll just be like, oh, Kutch, you're a successful filmmaker. Let's discuss.
But they're killing Vine. Vine is going away.
I know.
If there's one reason that Vine needs to stay, it's
more
because
Kutch
of filmmaker
films.
Andrew McCutcheon.
I know.
Sorry, I interrupted to stump for.
But that's true, though, because I would watch, you know, should win all the awards. It's going to be truly a tragedy if he's not nominated for an Academy Award.
Yes.
But then I thought, like, okay, well, I thought for a while, what should I do? You know, should I get my graduate degree in history? That would be fun. That's the thing I like a lot. So who would I ask for help? Maybe I would ask connection to history, Max Kepler, who may or may not be related to famed astronomer Johannes Kepler. That is really cool to me. That branches so many different like levels. He has this idea. Also, like that could be, you know, science situation. Additionally, Max Kepler is German and speaks another language. So, you know, maybe that's part of my studies. Like, I need to translate old documents, etc. So I went with Max Kepler as my ultimate choice because it seems like he just has a broad base of knowledge.
It's a good choice.
Yes.
When you said you needed somebody who had a connection with history, I assumed you meant David Ross. but that's a good choice. Claire, what about you? Who's who's the baseball player that you wish could help you in your studies if you were a student?
So if we're going previous baseball players, it's obviously Miguel Batista. He wrote his own book of poetry. He wrote a book about a serial killer. And his old website had photos of him playing a woodwind instrument. I believe it might have been a saxophone. And also a photo of him in a long detective's coat and fedora. But sadly, he's not playing anymore, and so how would I ever reach him? So the obvious question is, who will help me with my math homework, the class that I barely escaped in high school? Then I went to an art school where I just have to take math classes. So obviously, I go to Cole Figueroa. He played for like 3 or 4 teams, started with the Pirates this last season. He does his own sabermetric analysis of himself. I'm like, how can I improve myself by looking at the advanced stats around me, the advanced stats that I love, but I don't understand how to calculate or really what they are saying, because I just say, this is what it says, rather than like, here's the root of how to grow it. And I know I talked about this on the podcast before, but when he was with Pittsburgh, he went to a local cafe where like you can prepay for someone's drink, and then you put a note on this like bulletin board, and people take the note down and hand it in. And his note was, if you are a fan of war, have a coffee on me. Cole Figueroa, you're helping me out.
I like that. Did you take the coffee?
No, it wasn't me. I know the guy who did it, though, and so he's got a couple pictures, and I'm incredibly jealous of his coffee.
Well, yeah, any coffee paid for by Sabermetrics is a good cup of coffee. That's the best coffee out there.
This is just actually great. I would go. He should teach a seminar. I'd go.
I would go too. Well, that kind of ties into my choices. I had a few. I thought Joey Votto for reasons that he's a very thoughtful player who breaks down, you know, every plate appearance. Similarly, has not quite as studious a relationship with sabermetrics, but an appreciation certainly. I thought Chris Young is another example. He went to Princeton, so the Royals. Chris Young, I should say. So that seemed like a choice, but. You know, Kyle Hendricks, same deal, went to Dartmouth. So, like, I appealed to authority here.
That's pretty good.
That, like, they went to the Ivy Leagues. They know what they're talking about. And Hendricks showed that he's, like, pretty cool under pressure. So even if I'm, like, rushing and freaking out about my homework, he'd be down and good to help. But I thought, ultimately, I'm surprised neither of you chose this person. Physics adjunct professor Josh Kallmenter, who at spring training this year taught his teammates like a brief seminar in physics just out of the goodness of.
He was on my list actually because I appreciate that level of nerddom when he's like, all right, I have an off day, what should I do? Let's go on a tour of a nuclear power plant. Like, most people be like, no, he thought that was interesting and cool, and I would have been like, I will also go on this tour, I want to know how this works.
Yeah.
And then I love that he was just like, let's teach different lessons every week about how the world works, like someone who has the curiosity to ask, how does this work? I'm a big fan of his.
Yeah, and like, if you need somebody to help your homework, that's who you want. Is like a jack of all trades who has like a lot of broad knowledge about a lot of different things. Generally curious, can help you figure out the process, not just the answer. Because how many times have you like sat down with a math question, you know how to get to the answer, but you don't really understand it?
Mm-hmm.
He'll help you with that.
I mean, he just seems like someone who has great enthusiasm for teaching, which is pretty cool.
Well, and he had this great quote when they asked him about his physics lesson. He said, "Quote." It makes me have to read some things, some articles or science journals or whatever. And so, like, I feel him. The casual pursuit of knowledge is just as noble as the academic pursuit of knowledge.
I would describe my entire life as the casual pursuit of knowledge, just like trivia forever.
Yeah, I agree. I think those are all good choices, though. Obviously, commenter is correct. But
this time, you don't get away with this one as well.
Don't push it, Dakota. Yeah. Okay, we gave you one. So
you're right. I'll take it where I can get it. Let's move on here to our last topic. Obviously, it is award season. We're taping this on Monday. Tonight, we will discover who the rookies of the year are. Rookie of the years. Like attorneys general, rookies of the year.
Yeah.
We'll discover them. We have MVP, Cy Young, Manager of the Year. All that stuff's happening this week. So you know what? It's time. The people have spoken, and they have demanded that Cut 4 issue awards. We did this last year. We will do this again at arbitrary points of time in the future. But it makes sense to do it now, and thus we will. And my question to the two of you is this. Rather than having each of us come up with an award, or having each collectively come out with one award and having each of us nominate a player. That's not fun. What's fun is each of us coming up with their own award.
Mm-hmm.
Claire, I want to ask you first.
Uh-huh.
I'm sorry to catch you off guard. They're scary. In the spirit of how much you like horror films, I'm going to catch you off guard and scare you. What is your MLB award for Cut 4?
Oh man, I know this is so intense, and this is a big thing because who I decide wins this award gets the silverware, gets the hardware, and there's going to be 749 players who don't get it, and that's a lot of responsibility on my shoulders.
I'm glad that you appreciate the heavy weight of this moment.
I know, and that's why I was really struggling. I was having some panic attacks earlier. You know, do I give a best nickname award to Dae-ho Lee, who is Pig Tiger? Supposedly that's because his last name means tiger in Korean, and he's a little chubby, a little cherubic. Unfortunately, the article that I found that information about back in July, I could not find again, so obviously I couldn't go in that direction. Do I upset Brad Miller, who is my best friend in my mind, and give the best stirrup award to Francisco Lindor this year? And I said, no, I can't destroy that relationship I cultivated. So I came up with my own award called Mr. Dinger.
Okay.
And this award, to take all the responsibility from me, it's simply a number that you arrive to. The player needs 300 plate appearances, a batting average below 250, and whoever meets those criteria and has the highest isolated slugging wins it, because all they do is crush dingers. And our winner is Ryan Schimpf of the San Diego Padres, who had the highest ever isolated slugging while meeting those criteria at 315. We saw a magical year from a rookie who had 42. And it's not held just to rookies. He was a rookie, but this is for everybody for all time. Ryan Schimpf, 42 of his 60 hits was for extra bases. It was an amazing season. If you wanted to see a guy either make an out or do something spectacular, you wanted to be watching the Padres. So Ryan Schimpf, I hope you enjoy this award. I'll be shipping your silverware to you. So that is your Mr. Dinger winner 2016.
I'm really just imagining it as like a spoon from your house that you wrote Mr. Dinger on, and then you just mail it, like tie a ribbon around and you mail it to him.
My appreciation for this award is that it is not at all arbitrary.
Yes.
Gemma, let's throw it to you.
Oh, because mine is utterly arbitrary. Just
what do you
utterly
got?
Arbitrary.
What's your award?
Well, I really do feel like there's a lot of discussion about which players deserve what and how important it is, you know, blah, blah, blah. I think that we need to appreciate an extremely under-awarded part of baseball and a baseball player's life. So I have decided to award Best Major League Dog.
Who is the winner?
I mean, there are so many competitors this year. I mean, Astro constantly, you know, in the game. Justin Verlander's dog, Harley, not quite like as small and cute, but like one of the big doofy dogs that runs around that you just love so much. However, I think this year the award goes to a newcomer, a rookie dog of the year, if you will. And that is Blue Peterson, Jock Peterson's little puppy. Blue has its own Instagram. You can look. It's very cute. The other cute thing about it is that Jock Peterson likes all of Blue Peterson's photos on Instagram. So generally a beloved animal.
Instagram stalker.
Do you not follow every dog on Instagram? Because I follow a lot of Instagram dogs.
The dogs are the best models on Instagram.
I follow Claire's parents' dog on Instagram.
Okay.
So anyway, Blue Peterson wins Best MLB Dog of the Year.
an excellent award. Congrats to you, Blue. The award is in the mail.
When searching for that, you'll find that Blue Peterson is also apparently an MMA fighter.
Sure.
Good job, Blue.
Why not?
A lot of talents. Dog, MMA dog.
So my award, this one is called the Faithfully Toiled Away in Obscurity Award, which goes to the player who had the best year on a not-so-great team.
Aww.
Put it that way. I thought the nominees this year, Freddie Freeman, who slashed 301, 400, 569 with 34 home runs. That was pretty impressive. secondary to that, Adam Eaton of the Chicago White Sox had he's an incredible defender. He put up 22.5 UZR, but, I mean, the UZR is a little odd, so just open your eyes and watch him play, and you'll know that he's worthy of having this award.
You should write a stat dictionary with just that in the bottom of it.
Open your eyes and watch him play.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I think the real winner of this award, it makes me really sad to give him this award, but it's Mike Trout, who toiled away in obscurity to the tune of 9.4 wins above replacement, 29 home runs, 441 on base percentage, will probably potentially win the MVP, should probably win the MVP, and played for the Los Angeles Angels of Anaheim.
I actually really like this award, and I think it should become an actual thing.
Yeah, probably a better name than the Faithfully Toiled Away Obscurity Award.
No, gotta call it that. No, it should be called that.
All right, real quick, the two of you, we are running out of time. My question, can you sum up this podcast in 140 characters? That's right, it is time to condense the podcast into one bite-sized chunk. Gemma, why don't you go first?
All right, this is everybody's added, so just assume that I'm adding everybody. Cole Figueroa, Josh Colemanter, and Max Kevler should record an educational song about sabermetrics and cute dogs.
Love it.
Hashtag cut forecast.
Favorited. Claire, give me your tweet. What do you got?
Go dogs go, colon, Blue Peterson is cut at cut four's top competitor from MLB's 2016, and then the link. With a cute photo of Blue Peterson, who I just looked up, and his adorable scrunched face makes me want to squeeze it into a tiny little ball.
Cute dog. Good clickbait.
I love it. Yeah, including a dog is a nice choice. My tweet is, here's your homework for ya.
Boo.
Colon. The best MLB song is The Way I Swing by Ken Griffey Jr. and Kid Sensation. Period.
That is not homework. How is that?
I'm doing
homework.
I'm doing the kids' homework for them.
No.
No? Okay.
You're too young to be like this.
block report me.
Dakota's
I'm gonna
secretly
delete
77
Twitter.
Years old. Like, what is even happening here?
If you have a tweet that more accurately and adequately summarizes our podcast into 140 characters, please tweet it at us at Cut4 with the hashtag Cut4Cast. You can like us on Facebook, facebook.com/Cut4. You can go to MLB.com/Cut4 to read just an incredible cornucopia of baseball content every single day for you on your computer or cellular telephone. If you enjoy this podcast, you could subscribe to it on iTunes. That's how I do it, or anywhere else that you get your podcasts, theoretically. I don't know. Maybe you get them emailed to you from your child. I don't know. That could be the way that you get podcasts.
77 years old.
If you go to iTunes, you can actually leave us a review, 1 to 5 stars. You can actually take time to write out the review. We'll read it on the Cut 4 Cast. I didn't look this week, so I'm sorry if you did that, and I'm not reading it now.
Terrible.
Apologies. Gemma, thank you for being here. Thanks for coming back from the Wizarding World of Harry Potter.
I almost didn't. I almost just stayed in Hogsmeade forever, so.
that probably was the smarter choice. So thank you for coming back. Claire, thank you, as always, for joining us.
Guys, thank you so much. I'm sorry I'm not bringing you wands.
You should be sorry. You both should have brought wands.
Sorry.
Like, ridiculous. But mostly, thank you for listening, and we will talk to you next week. Actually, wait, no, I won't talk to you next week because I'm going to be out of town. Gemma will talk to you next week, however. I won't be here. You're lucky. But Gemma will talk to you next week.